wrestling fans of all ages, shapes, sizes, genders, and everything in between. It is time to go to war and be the cure for the Common Wrestling Podcast. Welcome to the revolution.
Buzz, buzz, guys. My name is Kate Murphy.
What's going on, everybody? This is Will Tarashuk, the founder of the Kings of the Rings podcast.
What's going on, guys? It is I, the one and only Quiet Riot himself, Zach, your host of the Young Lions Perspective.
What's up, guys? This is the Monday Night Delight.
Greetings, one and all. This is your Prime Minister speaking, your favorite Canadian, Mr. Fret.
Hey, what's up, you guys? This is Nate the Effing Great from the Game Changer podcast.
If you're looking for a network that keeps wrestling real, then you've come to the right place, because
you're listening to
You are listening to
You are listening to
You are listening to
Then you are listening.
Get ready for a war, because you're listening to
What is going on, everybody? This is King Ricky Rose, your general manager, and you are listening to Wrestle Addict Radio. Now enjoy the show.
Are you ready?
Zach from the Wrestling Dishes Podcast, and you're welcome to episode 236 of the YLB Podcast. So glad to have you guys here with me on this Monday evening. Enjoying your day, your night, your afternoon, your evening, wherever you may be, wherever you are in the world. Thank you guys so much for sharing this episode of the podcast. As always, I greatly and truly appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, y'all know it is Monday. And since we are not following a pay-per-view, that means we get to have another brand new episode of News of the Weekend. I got to talk about all of the news that's fit for me to talk about. And break it all down in proper YLP fashion, as I always do. Well, before we get into that, nice little announcement coming from the breaking the news wire involving RT Sprint. Yes, we have added some new merch. Yes, we have added some new merch, of course. I'm just going to talk about mine because, well, it involves me. But yes, we have involved two new items to all of our Teespring stores, that being the original War Collection, King Ricky Rose Collection, the HBIC Collection, the Friends of Media Collection, the Game Changer Collection, the Delight Collection, and as well, my collection, the YLB collection, which you can go over to teespring.com/the-YLB collection. The-YLB-collection. You can check out all the merch over there. Of course, I have merch for men, women, and the young cubs out there, all different styles. T-shirts, tank tops for both ladies and men, as well as the boyfriend tee for the ladies, regular tees for men's, hoodies, pullover sweaters. Kids and toddlers tees, accessories, of course, like coffee mugs, die cut stickers, you know, organic, you know, beach totes, organic, you dig, as well as beach towels, tapestries, all that good stuff. And of course, we can include two new items to our, at least to my store. We now, for the ladies, we got y'all premium V-neck t-shirts. I know some of y'all like to wear them V-necks and steal from your boyfriend's closet. Well, worry no more. You can get your own YLP V-neck shirts over on teespring.com/the-YLP-collection. But that's not all. Not only do we add all of the V-neck stuff, we also now have stepped into the face mask game. Yes, yeah, boy. Mr. YLP himself has his own brand of face masks. Yes, I know in most of the country, it's more so of a mandate in certain states where masks must be worn when you are entering stores, being in stores, you know, grocery shopping, all that stuff. And it means what it means, but you now, you can represent your boy, Mr. YLP himself. And yeah, we can represent YLP women in one more way. Changing form. Face mask over there. Now let me make sure I got this all right. Yes, we got the face mask, women's premium V-neck shirts. This is all new stuff that we have coming out. This actually just as of, I believe, yesterday. Yes, it does support us for sure, but it also supports a better cause. Now, let this be known. Every mask you buy off of any of our Teesprings, doesn't matter who you get it from, no matter which Teespring store you get from the Wrestletic Radio Squadron, every single sale, and by the way, it is $14.99 over on teespring.com/the-YLP collection, a dollar will be donated. Let me make sure I get this correct. A dollar from every mask sold will go towards a nonprofit for feeding children in need. So not only are you getting a banging-looking mask, if you have to wear a mask in your state, wherever you may be, wherever you are in the world, but you can also, you're also donating to a cool cause. I know there's a lot of children out there right now. I'm not sure about the statistics, and I'll get those as I go, but I know there are a lot of children right now out there wondering where the next meal is going to come from. And we want to help with that. I have two nieces and a nephew myself. And the last thing I would want is for them to go hungry. It's a thought that I always have. I mean, now being an uncle, it concerns me sometimes, but I know my sister and her dude are, you know, taking care of the kids as best as they possibly can. But you never want to see a child go hungry. It messes with their performance in schools. Just overall, if they're not getting proper nutrition, it affects their overall being in and of itself. So the last thing you would want is a child to definitely go hungry, going to sleep hungry. I mean, I personally never had to go a night without making sure I had food in my belly. But again, there are some children out there that are unfortunately not going to know where the next meal is going to come from. So we join in that cause. And like I said, every sale of the face mask we carry, that doesn't matter who it is, but I'm just talking about me more so because, you know, this is my show, my movement. A dollar will be donated to a nonprofit for feeding children in need. So when you, not only when you're buying a dope ass mask, and representing the YLP movement in proper YLP fashion, as you always should, in excellence, you're also donating to a very good cause. So head over to teespring.com/the-YLP-collection. Check out the mask. Ladies, check out the premium V-neck t-shirts. And get yourself some swanky YLP merch today. We are in the dog days of summer. And we got Tropical Storm Isaias headed our way this coming tomorrow evening, I believe. It's going to be a little bit of a Passover. But to all my people in the South right now, especially my squadron out in Myrtle Beach, please stay safe. Take care of what you need to take care of. As far as I know, it is literally heading into it right now. So, yeah, I mean, y'all be safe out there. For real, please be safe. And take care of yourselves. And all that good stuff. So, yeah, be safe down there. And I know for all my peoples out here, really. Hold on, let me try to refresh something. Refresh that. I could have just refreshed it. I'm a retard. but, yeah, make sure you go head over to teespring.com and get yourself some swanky merch today. Again, it is Monday. And we are following no pay-per-views whatsoever. So that means we get to talk about the news of the weekend, all of the news that's fit for me to talk about. I want to get a count because I know there was a particular article I wanted to make sure I had for today's episode, if I can actually spell correctly. But while we're doing that, guys, I hope you guys had a good weekend. If you have not checked out my latest episode, episode 235 of the YLP podcast, discussing what went down this past last Wednesday on AEW Dynamite, the Sunday evening love-hate special. I appreciate every single one of y'all that has checked out the episode so far. Make sure that you tell a friend to tell a friend about the episode. And, make sure you share that all out there, all that good stuff. And yeah, I got some news today. Now, I believe I have at least 10 articles on deck for you guys today. I'll have at least 10, if I'm not mistaken. So we got a little bit of time to talk. Let me see here. I know there was a particular article from Progress Wrestling that I wanted to talk about today. I got news on Rusev being temporarily banned from Twitch. Chris Jericho news. I got news on NJPW Strong and a top star being unable to compete due to an injury. Deonna Purrazzo talking shit to WWE saying, I hope you feel dumb. For not, we'll discuss that. And I have news, of course, on Seth Rollins. Hits out on AEW fans for criticizing the eye for an eye match. I'll give you my thoughts on that as well. I got news on some programming changes announced for AEW Dynamite. And shout out to my big boy, my homie from across the pond, Jermaine, for giving me that news. Appreciate you putting that in the group chat before I started recording. I also have news, of course, on the plans for the next WWE draft. And I believe I have some news on some Progress Wrestling news. So we'll be discussing a good amount of that today. Issuing statement on their structural changes. I believe that's the most recent one. Yes. So I got a little bit of a little bit of news today, but I did not discuss the biggest news to come out of so far today. And this is actually a big one. So big, I had to go to USAtoday.com in order to get the article for you guys, but I'm sure you probably heard it. If you have not, it's top story of the day. Dwayne The Rock Johnson becomes part owner of the XFL. He joins group to purchase league for $15 million. This is from Tom Shad. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is now part owner of the XFL. Johnson and business partner Danny Garcia and ex-wife, of course, we're not going to talk about that though, have teamed up with Jerry Cardinal and Redbird Capital Partners to purchase the league's parent company for roughly $15 million, the private investment firm announced in a news release Monday. The parent company, Alpha Entertainment LLC, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in April after the COVID-19 pandemic forced the league to shutter after just 5 weeks of play. It was previously due to be up for auction on Monday before Johnson's group finalized the purchase. Quote, the acquisition of the XFL with my talented partners Danny Garcia and Jerry Cardinal is an investment for me that's deeply rooted deeply in two things, my passion for the game and my desire to always take care of the fans, Johnson said in a statement. He continues on to say, with pride and gratitude for all that I've built with my own two hands, I plan to apply these calluses to the XFL and look forward to creating something special for the players, fans, and everyone involved for the love of football. It is not immediately clear when or how Johnson's group will aim to revive the XFL. The 18 league laid off its employees after suspending operations in early April. Before embarking on his career as an actor, Johnson, 48, played college football at the University of Miami and spent 8 years as a professional wrestler. Only eight? Damn. The XFL, coincidentally, was previously owned by Vince McMahon, the founder of World Wrestling Entertainment. According to Redbird Capital's news release, transaction is subject to approval from a Delaware bankruptcy court later this week. The deal is expected to be finalized on or around August 22nd. This is a quote from Jeffrey Pollock saying, quote, we are grateful for today's outcome. This is a Hollywood ending to our sale process, and it is an exciting new chapter for the league. Monday's announcement will bring new life to the second iteration of the XFL, which showed promising signs of growth before the COVID-19 pandemic struck the United States earlier this year. With former NCAA executive and pro quarterback Oliver Luck at the helm, the league positioned itself as a spring complement to the XFL, to the NFL, my apologies, a proving ground for borderline players and a testing ground for new rules, including a tiered extra point system and a scheme for kickoffs that was designed to be safer for players. And it says in parentheses, Luck has since sued McMahon for wrongful termination. I ain't gonna talk about that though. The XFL drew larger crowds than its spring football predecessor, the Alliance of American Football, and benefited from national television agreements with ESPN and Fox Sports. According to bankruptcy filings, the league generated about $14 million in revenue through the first 3.5 weeks of its season and lost roughly $27 million in game day revenue alone by cutting its season short due to COVID-19. 2019. This is huge. This is absolutely big. This is big. This is about as huge as it can get. The Rock is part owner of XFL. This is huge. Me personally, I was a huge fan of the XFL. I love football. Football is literally my favorite sport on God's green earth. Would be, and it's number one in a landslide over everything. Baseball is a very distant second, followed by basketball, hockey, so on and so forth. But football was always my favorite sport. I played it when I was a kid. I played a little bit in high school. But football has always been my favorite sport. And I wasn't that much – I was okay with the first iteration of the XFL back in the early 2000s. But this version of the XFL, I got to tell you, they were onto something big. They were onto something so huge. So much so, I believe three or four of their players actually got drafted in the NFL. I believe P.J. Walker, who was the quarterback for the Houston Roughnecks, the only undefeated team at the time, they were running roughshod throughout the entire fucking league. That team was just dirty, straight dirty. I personally was a New York Guardians fan myself. They was putting in work, but they was also trash. But that's neither here nor there. But before it was, stopped, of course, of coronavirus, be damned, they were really onto something with, their tiered extra points, their kickoff system where nobody could move until the actual player who was returning the kick actually had the ball, which led to no wedge blocks, all this stuff. And I really think they were starting to get into some innovative shit. No field goals, and you had to go for it on fourth down. Made the game a little bit more exciting. The tiered point system for extra points was fantastic. It really made for strategic play. It really did. And they were doing some things. Fuck the Battlehawks. They're trash. fuck them. They were really onto something with the league that they had. And when it actually fell through, I was actually shocked that they were they actually ended it so abruptly. I was shocked that they got rid of it. That Vince McMahon pretty much just shut it all down and just ended it. I guess he didn't want to lose any more money. But, the fact that The Rock came in and, of course, with his ex-wife and business partner and, of course, Jeffrey Cardinal coming in for Redbird, now they have saved the league. They have honestly saved the league. For $15 million? Shit, that's a steal. For motherfuckers that got money like that. They got fuck you money. I somewhat give a fuck money. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It's really dope. I'm really happy that the XFL would not be auctioned off. I'm very, very happy that The Rock and that, and his group actually got it and they, bought it out. And hopefully everything goes through properly. Of course, as I said in the article, the deal will be finalized hopefully on August 22nd. And hopefully next year we get XFL football in the spring, because y'all know football is the only sport that should be played year round. But let us continue on. Again, a big shout out to Jermaine for putting this in our Patreon group chat. And I'll discuss our Patreon in the next segment. All that stuff. But he put this in the group chat, and it's definitely something I want to pass along to you guys if you haven't seen it yet. From WrestleTalk.com, big programming changes announced for AEW Dynamite. This is actually from Brian Joyce. Actually came out a couple hours ago. It had to come at some point. With the return of the NBA playoffs, All Elite Wrestling and TNT have announced changes in programming for AEW Dynamite. Sean Ross Sapp shared the press release from TNT, where they reveal Dynamite will air on alternate days three times. So this is the programming alert. So for y'all NBA fans out there and for y'all AEW fans out there, this is what's going to be going down. And I'll let you guys know right now which 3 days are going to be shifted. This is from the press release from TNT. Quote, due to the NBA schedule, AEW Dynamite will make the following shifts on TNT. The Wednesday, August 19th episode will air on Saturday, August 22nd at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3 p.m. Pacific. The Wednesday, August 26th episode will air Thursday, August 27th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And the Wednesday, September 16th episode will air on Thursday, September 17th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. I will say that one more time just in case you're writing it down in your calendars. The Wednesday, August 19th episode will now air on August 22nd. That is a Saturday at 6 p.m. August 26th episode will take place the day after on the 27th at 8 p.m. as they normally would. And the Wednesday, September 16th episode will air Thursday, September 17th at 8 p.m. Now, it causes a little bit of a problem, but I'll talk about that in a moment. The first two shows have been shifted and are in the buildup to AEW's All Out pay-per-view. The pay-per-view is scheduled for September 5th, so luckily the go-home show is not one of the episodes affected. This will be the first time Dynamite has been preempted from its time slot. It should also be noted that the August 22nd show will briefly overlap with NXT TakeOver 30. So on Saturday, August 22nd, y'all are going to have to make a bit of a choice. Actually, no, yeah, you're going to have to make a bit of a choice. Are you going to watch AEW Dynamite or are you going to watch TakeOver 30? Now, that conflicts with me a little bit because usually I watch the shows usually live on Wednesdays and do the Light the Fuse on Friday nights. So that kind of fucks with me a little bit as well, given the fact that more of my attention is going to be taken care of more towards NXT TakeOver, and that I believe that on the 24th is when I'd be doing The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Actually, it would be The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly that was SummerSlam weekend. So I may have to make an executive decision, and I'm going to probably say this right now, that on the weekend of that week, going into SummerSlam weekend, I'm going to have to say there will be no episode of Light the Fuse. I'm going to put that out there right now, my own breaking news. I have to make that executive decision. I will, of course, watch it at another time to make sure I keep up in the swing of things. But as far as Light the Fuse going down on that particular weekend, unfortunately, my focus will be shifted more on SummerSlam weekend as opposed to AEW Dynamite. So keep in mind, that would be the 21st of August, same day as the XFL hopefully will be finalized. And that The Rock and his group will have officially become part owners of the XFL. So I'm going to put that in your calendars right now. The week on August 21st, there will be no AEW Dynamite review, anything like that. But don't think for one second that we won't have a show. That show then will be dedicated to preview and predictions for SummerSlam weekend. So, unfortunately, we will scrap Light the Fuse for that day, and we'll just make it entirely about preview and predictions for SummerSlam weekend for both NXT TakeOver 30 and for SummerSlam that weekend. So, yeah. Oh, guys, just wait for this. Hey, Mom. You know The Rock bought the XFL, right? No, just bought it. Him, his ex-wife, and Jeffrey Cardinal from the Redbird investment firm, $15 million. 15? 15. Oh. Yeah. Wow. I know. Congratulations. I know because he your man and everything. I know how much you love The Rock. Yeah, so now your boo thing is now a part owner of the XFL. Congratulations, you made it.
Where's my money?
You better talk to him about that.
I know.
By the way, I just recorded that.
Oh.
you made it to the show, Mama. She's a big fan of The Rock, guys, just so you guys know. Also a big fan of Roman Reigns, but we ain't going to discuss that. That's a whole different show in and of itself. But let me finish up this article real quick. Dave Meltzer also added that TNT will air the August 26th episode both that night and on August 27th. And so I believe that the tweet from Dave said, quote, addition to the AEW being moved on the 19th and the 26th due to the NBA is that TNT will air AEW on both the 26th and the 27th in prime time. But we've already discussed that. It will be interesting to see how moving from their usual time slot will affect ratings. Now, for me personally, it doesn't affect the August 27th show doesn't affect me that much, but the September 17th episode does. And I'll explain why. So I might have to make another executive decision for September 18th. Excuse me. I may have to watch it on Friday and do that show on Sunday. But even then, that might be a stretch. So I may have to scrap that one as well. Because I would have to, because it's football day. And you don't mess with my football. And so, unfortunately, I mean, so it's going to be switching things around. But luckily, the go-home show doesn't get affected. But the build, so... Just so you know, I don't have to probably put notes on this. So in terms of the YLP podcast, August 21st, there will be no Light the Fuse there. On September 18th, there will be no Light the Fuse due to the fact that other situations have gone down. But I will watch. I will take care of that accordingly. Probably watch that Friday before anything. I don't know if there will be a show on the 18th. We'll figure it out as we go. But just so you know, right now, August 21st will be a full-on preview and prediction show. And we will talk about SummerSlam weekend. I think that will be the first time I did a full-on preview and prediction show for anything. So, yeah, that will be absolutely fun to watch. That's going to be fun. We'll see how everything goes, especially for podcasters like me who do three shows a week and do discuss NXT, WWE, AEW, New Japan, all that stuff. It kind of affects me a little bit, but only for two episodes. So if you can bear with that, I greatly appreciate that. So we'll get out of here. Let me see. From WrestlingNews.co, Chris Jericho shares his wish list of wrestlers he would like to see sign with AEW. This is from Andrew Ravens. Chris Jericho gave his wish list of wrestlers that he would like to see join AEW during a Saturday night special live stream on his YouTube channel. I didn't even know he had a YouTube channel. This is where he named Roman Reigns, Will Ospreay, Ricochet, Kota Ibushi, and Don Callis. Because this is a Q&A with fans, Jericho also talked about how he thinks to have Cesaro would really stir it up because he thinks Cesaro in AEW would be one of our top guys. Jericho added that he thinks Ricochet would be a good fit for AEW. Earlier in the Q&A before this question, he was asked about guys he wanted to work with in New Japan Pro Wrestling. He brought up he's already wrestled the likes of Kenny Omega, who is now in AEW, in addition to Kazuchika Okada and Hiroshi Tanahashi. But he still wants to wrestle Ibushi. Jericho did note that he doesn't think that match with Ibushi will happen anytime soon, nor him returning to NJPW because of the COVID-19 pandemic. If you want to check out the entire stream, you can check that over on his YouTube channel, or you can watch it over on WrestlingNews.co. Find the article there, and we'll go from there. I think it's interesting to see, you know, that he wants to work with certain guys and that he wants to bring guys. There's a lot of guys he wants to bring over. Now, Roman Reigns, let's just start with who he said, and we will go from there. Roman Reigns ain't happening. That is Vince McMahon's golden boy, and there ain't no way in absolute hell he is going to get Roman Reigns over to AEW. Will Ospreay is a possibility. Because of the fact that he does work for New Japan Pro Wrestling, that doesn't mean that, and I know there have been talks and rumors about AEW and New Japan forming a thing, a coalition, whatever word you want to use in that essence. Will Ospreay would be a good get. I think that would be crazy if they were able to get Will Ospreay over to AEW. Ricochet, honestly, I would not be surprised. Because Ricochet is being grossly underutilized in WWE,
working in a tag team with Cedric Alexander and being used as enhancement talent for MVP. What kind of bullshit is that? A talent like Ricochet, former NXT North American champion, being utilized as enhancement talent for MVP. Yeah, if he left, I guarantee you AEW would try to scoop his ass up with the quickness. Kota Ibushi would be a dope one. I would like to see that. I would like to see Kota Ibushi and Chris Jericho go at it. That would be fire. Him and AEW, crazy. That would be crazy. Because then you get the Golden Lovers back with Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi. Woo! Golden triggers all around, knees to face. Oh, that would hurt. That would hurt some feelings. Don Callis, I think, is actually not a wrestler that I know of. I know he was Don Callis. Yeah, no, that I mean, do you if he gets eight, he goes to AEW. That's cool. Cesaro would be a dope get, but I don't think that Vince would be willing to release him anytime soon because now, of course, he's working with Nakamura. But that, I mean, if they got Cesaro, shit, he would easily be a main event guy without question. Claudio Castagnoli. But here's what you should do. Get Cesaro and Chris Hero back together and bring back the Kings of Wrestling. That would be insane. That would be absolutely insane. And I agree with Jericho when he says Ricochet would be a damn good fit for AEW. He would be a fantastic fit. You know, for what he does, the rivalries he can have, the feuds he can do. Man, listen. I would be all for that all day long. I'll be all for it. I'll easily be all for it. 100%. I would love each and every one of those picks. Don Callis, not so much. If they ever brought him over to from TNA, that would be a good get. But he's an executive vice president, and I don't think it's going to be happening anytime soon. And I believe we will end this portion of the program, this part one of episode 236 of the Wild Peep Podcast, with Rusev. Oh, Rusev. Rusev, Rusev, Rusev. Adorable. Adorable man. So, from WrestlingInc.com, Rusev temporarily banned from Twitch streaming. Yeah. And this is also from my favorite personal professional wrestler, professional wrestling writer, Mark Middleton. Former WWE superstar Rusev Miroslav Barniashev has been banned from Twitch already. And my guy from work, Russell, can back me up on this. I actually called this. I didn't put anything out on Twitter or anything, but yeah, I kind of saw this coming. With this, but we'll talk about it. Rusev recently launched his Twitch account for streaming and interacting with fans. But now the page gives the following message. Sorry, unless you've got a time machine, that content is unavailable. It's speculated that Rusev's account was suspended after he and Lana were filming near a pool with Lana wearing a bikini. This may have violated the strict Twitch community guidelines for nudity and attire, which includes swimwear. Rusev commented on the ban and indicated that he was banned for the filming with his wife. Quote, I was too sexy for Twitch. I learned my lesson. See y'all tomorrow. He wrote, indicating that this is a temporary ban, more than likely a 12-hour ban. It'd be what it is. It looks like Rusev will be returning to the platform today, which was actually this past Saturday. Let me see. Yeah, so I want to see if I can actually play this. I kind of want to see it for scientific purposes, of course. Shut up. Oh, they did it right away. God damn. Yep, Lana right there in a bikini. Rusev playing FIFA. I'm just trying to see when they get him banned. Yeah, a lot of chilling in the bikini. Yeah. How long is this video? Yeah, 22 minutes. Yeah, we're not going to. Okay, yeah, pretty much for the most part, yeah. So, yeah. So, somehow, some way, Twitch was like, nah, fam, y'all good. Temporary ban, lol, ha, ha, ha. Yeah. Yes, that's what actually happened. I'm not going to go further, but yeah, you can. She walks right in, bikini on, all that, in her fineness. I'm just a man. I'm merely just a man. But I will go with the joke that this ain't the first time Rusev has been fucked over by his wife. I know, simple dig, but it had to be done. And if you didn't get, and if you didn't get the joke, well, oops, fam, you suck. Right over your head. But yeah, it kind of sucks that he does get banned. Yes, and yes, there is a strict policy that Twitch has. I am a Twitch. I'm not a Twitch personality per se. But I do go on Twitch every so often and watch certain streamers. Dankops is a damn good one. He does a lot of pro wrestling stuff. And he's a great, subscribe for YouTube. He is kidding. I've been following him since about 2016, back in his early days when he was doing the Chris Danger series. Very fantastic follow. I follow Austin Creed, Xavier Woods over there, guys like Gold Glove, Tim the Tatman, Nick Merckx, Cloaksy, ladies like Fem Steph, who's a fantastic streamer, and congratulations to her on having being pregnant with their first child with Gold Glove. They're going to be, I think they're going to be great parents, and they're actually my Twitch mom and dad. All right. Vern Notice, Bijou Demi, Ammunition, Dr. Disrespect before he got banned for no apparent fucking reason, and we still don't know why he got banned. Big Jiggly Panda, Rhino JB over there. Brendan, what's it? Is it Brendan? Brendan Plays. If you guys really like Universe Mode shit, Brendan Plays 100% is the guy to go to. This man has a booking mind like nobody's business. I thought I could book. This man has booked. He's been doing this, I think, since 2K15, and he has absolutely just killed it. I actually went back to watch Soul shit on YouTube and on Twitch. He always puts on a good show. Fantastic. Fantastic YouTuber and Twitch streamer. Who else do I follow? Sykuno, Valkyrie. Who else do I follow? I follow a lot of people on Twitch. And I actually met people through Twitch that are really cool as shit. I don't speak to them as often, unfortunately, as I like to, because I'm not really on the Twitch community as much. Courage JD. Basically, I do work. Moo. Wildcat. If he ever does Twitch, Smitty. There's a lot of people over there on Twitch that you can follow. And of course, AJ Styles has his own Twitch. Rusev, I think, is now back into the swing of things. So it is really cool. It's really, I'm glad that, you know, we got past the 12-hour ban. Just make sure your boo thing puts on a t-shirt and some shorts or something before she decides to come in. And we'll go from there. But that will conclude part one of news of the weekend for episode 236 of the YLP podcast. When we come back, I have news on, of course, NJPW providing details about NJPW Strong and a top star unable to compete due to an injury. I got news on Deonna Purrazzo telling WWE, I hope you feel dumb for not seeing my potential. I also have news on the latest reports on WWE's plans for the next WWE draft. Oh, joy. Oh, fucking joy. I have news on Progress Wrestling issuing a statement on their structural changes. We'll discuss all of that. And we are going to end today's episode because Seth Rollins just can't keep his fucking mouth shut as he, what does he call it? Hits out on AEW fans for criticizing the Eye for an Eye match. Oh, my God. And I believe I also have some news on Aleister Black. I'm going to look that up real quick because I believe there's news on him possibly with a gimmick overhaul. Oh, I won't trust that one. I don't trust Sports Wiki, but I do trust Forbes. Popular WWE superstar apparently undergoing gimmick overhaul. We'll discuss all of that on the other side. Episode 236 of the YLP podcast. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Episode 236 of the YLP podcast. On the news of the weekend. We will continue on with part two. Before I get into that, I want to talk about, of course, our Patreon. Over on patreon.com/WrestleAddictRadio. Now, I know 17 cents a day doesn't get you far with pretty much anything. Not even as much as a piece of Bazooka Joe gum. Because last time I checked, that actually cost a quarter. Especially when you're seeing the ice cream man. But 17 cents a day over on the Patreon side can get you a lot of shit. Let me explain what you can get for 17 cents a day if you decide to join our Patreon. You get, of course, to be a part of our Patreon group chat, which I believe is one of our better, things to have in the world of, well, our Patreon. And shout out to, of course, our patrons, Jermaine, Kavita, Jean, Select, and all the other patrons that are part of the War Nation. We get to talk about, of course, professional wrestling. We talk about news, talk about articles, we talk about life things, accomplishments, all that good stuff. So it is a fun time over there, and you get to talk with all the members of the Wrestle Addict Radio family, including myself, which is always a good fun thing every time I stroll around. Also, you get to hear exclusive shows that you don't normally see or hear on Wrestle Addict Radio programming. Shows like Love and War, hosted by Kate Murphy and King Ricky Rose, as they discuss the trials and tribulations of dating as a professional wrestling fan and also as a professional wrestling podcaster. It's a damn good show and shows you a little bit of insight into how their dating lives have come about. Very good show. I was hooked on it from the first episode when they did not post it on their YouTube, and I've been a fan of the show ever since. Also, Fretz's Fame 5, where Mr. Fretz himself breaks down his Fame 5 of whatever particular topic he has going on at that particular moment. And I believe this particular time around, I'm trying to see if I remember his. I know he has a new Fave 5 up. I know he has done ones for Ultimate X. I know he has done ones for In Your House. And also women's wrestlers, just to name a few. For some reason, the newest episode slips my mind. And my apologies to Mr. Fretz for not knowing at this very moment. But also, the Secret Files podcast, hosted by me, yours truly, Mr. YLP himself, where you don't know what the topic will be until you press play. And I do have one coming up in this month of August. And I have a very special guest that will be joining me for this particular topic that I have going on. I think it's a conversation that must be had and a collaboration that I'm sure some of you will be waiting for very well. But if those two reasons don't hook you, how about this? How about an exclusive code that will get you 15% off every single time you check out at any of our Teespring stores? Yes, 15% off an exclusive code. I know what the code is. I can't tell you what it is because, well, you're not part of Patreon, unfortunately. But if you wanted to, if you decided to join us, exclusive code, 15% off every single time you check out. Just a thank you. Being more exclusive with the Wrestle Addict Radio family and sport, and of course, getting those premium V-neck shirts for the ladies, and of course the face mask, because who wouldn't want to represent the YLP movement in proper YLP fashion with a face mask, keeping yourself safe. So the story goes. But yeah, 17 cents a day will get you all of that. All right. Exclusivity is a wonderful thing, and we would love for you to join us over on patreon.com/
Wrestle Addict Radio. Consider being a part of the movement today. Also, since my dog is in the building, my dog Marley would like to let you know that in this Marley moment of the day, to remind you that in these quarantine times, to make sure you are, of course, getting as much sleep as you possibly can. Marley actually suggests naps throughout the day, within 8 to 12 hours range, because, well, naps are beautiful. Making sure you have a proper nutritious diet, eating well, making sure you have some activity throughout the day, walking around, doing something that will definitely benefit yourself and your body to boost your immune system. And, of course, every once in a while to ensure you get yourself some treats and treat yourself every once in a while and indulge in a little bit of the things of life that most of us do indulge in. And that is your Marley moment of the show. But with that being said, let us continue with the news of the weekend. And actually, I'm going to check something real quick. Don't mind me. Do that. There we go. All right, and we will get back into the swing of things. My apologies. Had to send a message out real quick. Let us get back into the news of the weekend, and let us kick off the second half of news of the weekend by discussing a possible gimmick overhaul from Forbes.com. Popular WWE star undergoing gimmick overhaul. This is from Blake Ostreicher. WWE is reinventing one of the best characters on Monday Night Raw. Just a week ago, it looked like WWE was going to write former NXT champion Aleister Black off TV altogether. And though he appeared once again on this week's episode of Raw, that may have marked his final appearance under his current gimmick. According to Alex McCarthy of Talk Sport, WWE chairman and CEO Vince McMahon is a fan of Black, but believes that Black's current gimmick limits his room for advancement up the card. Quote, Vince McMahon hasn't soured on Aleister Black, but is worried his character and gimmick will limit him. Black's macabre character has drawn comparisons to other dark gimmicks like The Undertaker and Bray Wyatt. But after a successful run at NXT, Black has experienced a rollercoaster ride of ups and downs on Raw and SmackDown. Even though he's only had two singles losses since moving to the main roster, it's clear that WWE, and more specifically McMahon, hasn't gone all in on Black's grim gimmick the way that Triple H did at NXT. While performing for the Yellow Brand for 2016 to 2019, Black came across as, well, a big deal. A unique and innovative performer with an undeniable aura and superstar charisma that simply hasn't translated over to the main roster, where there have been conflicting reports about whether or not Vince McMahon is truly sold on the talented performer. As has happened to stars like Wyatt, whose fantastic NXT gimmicks were ultimately tweaked or dropped altogether once they made their way onto Raw or SmackDown, Black is now in the midst of what appears to be a complete gimmick overhaul. Earlier this week, Black made a series of cryptic posts on his Instagram page in which he teams a full-blown character change. Perhaps the most notable was the post seen below, in which Black hints that WWE character he's been portraying for nearly a half a decade is now a thing of the past, writing, "And now I must rewrite 4 years of my own history by getting rid of that weakness, the same weakness that caused this betrayal. This is where my accountability ends and yours starts." This isn't WWE's first attempt at changing things up for Black either. It was more than a year ago that WWE spent weeks upon weeks having Black primarily appear on TV in odd backstage segments in which he challenged someone, anyone, to pick a fight with him. That wasn't so much a full-fledged change in character as it was an attempt to have him build up some momentum on TV. But it ultimately went nowhere. Same was true for Black's original main roster TV character, which was oddly paired with a fellow NXT call-up Ricochet in a bizarre pairing that produced quality matches but seemed mismatched, if not downright awkward from the get-go. Beyond a brief feud with Murphy earlier this year and being relegated to a bit player in AJ Styles' WrestleMania 36 feud with The Undertaker, there has been remarkably little in the way of legitimate character development for Black, whose push was reportedly headed in the wrong direction once Paul Heyman was ousted
as Raw Executive Director a couple of months ago. Of course, Heyman was a big supporter of Black, and now with Heyman gone from his creative role, that has left Black without much of a chance to work his way up the card. Maybe there's a light at the end of the tunnel, though. McMahon said during WWE's recent Q2 2020 earnings call that it's up to us to make Raw and SmackDown feel more youthful. That is where we're going. That statement is in direct contradiction to the established stars WWE is truly pushing on the red and blue brands. But if McMahon and WWE do genuinely make a concerted effort to create new stars, Black is certainly one who fits the bill as a star who is both new and ready. While Black's once captivating gimmick hasn't reached the same level on Raw or SmackDown that it did at NXT, perhaps the latest tweaks to his character will catapult him to where he belongs at the top of the card.
Really? That's where we're going with this. The reason that I just I honestly can't believe they're actually changing the gimmick. I really can't believe it. It just makes me speechless. It's just, I don't know. It just boggles my mind that WWE,
upon Black's arrival to the main roster, would honestly even think about changing his character when they really haven't even done much with him anyway. That's the whole deal with AJ Styles, you know, being rolling the feud between AJ Styles and Undertaker and all that. He hasn't really done much in the main roster. Sure, two losses on the main event roster is a solid record, but when you've really done nothing to develop him upon his main roster arrival besides, you know, picking a fight with anybody, it doesn't help with the cause for WWE. It really doesn't, and it stalls the character development of Aleister Black. They've done this so many times with Ricochet being a very big one. You know what I mean? How in the fuck are you going to do a gimmick overhaul on someone you've never really developed? Aleister Black, in my mind, has so much potential with the character he has right now. And they haven't done anything with him. At least from what I've seen. You know, has he fought for the United States Championship yet? No. I don't remember him fighting for the Intercontinental Championship as of late. And a lot of people were clamoring for a Aleister Black Bray Wyatt feud that never came to be. So, it shouldn't be a complete overhaul of the gimmick. It should be, how can we take what Triple H did in NXT and build upon that and make it better? Safe to say, they haven't really done that for one Aleister Black. Continuing on, though, from eWrestlingNews.com, Progress Wrestling issues statement on their structural changes. This is actually from this past Thursday. Progress Wrestling issued the following statement today, providing an update on the company's recent structural changes. The changes were made due to the Speaking Out movement. In the statement, which you can see below, it was announced that John Briley is the sole owner of Progress. Here is the statement, quote, update, 30th July, 2020. First and foremost, myself and James want to offer our continued support to all those impacted by the Speaking Out movement. Your voices will continue to be heard, and these changes and clarifications of our policies are, in part, our attempt to acknowledge your bravery and to take positive action. Specific measures brought in light of the Speaking Out movement include mandatory DBS checks being required for all staff and UK talent, only accredited people to be permitted backstage, and the commitment to have a lead safeguarding officer for talent and crew. Plus the hiring of an independent well-being officer to advise talent, crew, and audience members. Whilst we are not able to comment on individual cases, we know the key to implementing change is through our accountability. We have created through documentation that talent and staff have to sign off on and are available from our website. These are manifesto, safeguarding policy, whistleblowing policy, codes of conduct, talent referees and crew, audience policy. Due to current work undergoing, the disciplinary procedural protocol will be released at a later date. Going forward, we have made it even easier for people to present any concerns they may have. We have operated a media blackout to work hard on improving everything that we can, both within progress and contributing to industry-wide changes in infrastructure. This has also been as a mark of respect to those who needed and continue to need time to heal. John organized mental health counseling for talent and staff at the commencement of lockdown. We will continue to offer this going forward and for current and future talent. We have been working to help create or notify authorities of the need for a national governing body within professional wrestling. We have received many knockbacks, but will continue to work in this area. Unequivocally, we have a huge desire for this to happen and will continue working with the wrestling all-party parliamentary group. And there are many who want to make positive change and rebuild wrestling. Until that time, our safeguarding and code of conduct policies will be the highest possible within this and other entertainment industries. We are very proud to have created a referee roster and are setting the highest standards in the industry for the training. They will be used in other promotions, and we are keen to help across all promotions in this regard. Our referees will not only be the best trained, but will continue to have authority to end matches if they feel talent cannot continue safely. We have received lots of amazing messages from fans about what the company means to them, and we will create the best shows going forward. We don't take anyone's attendance for granted. Working alongside talent for long-term storylines and a real focus on the female talent is key for us. There's a huge pool of talent, both established and up-and-coming, that we look forward to working with. We have a commitment to improve our diversity and inclusion across everything that we do. There will always be lots of questions. With that in mind, we have offered up our time to a newly created fans committee that we will talk to monthly or as frequently as required. Please use them for your questions and concerns, as they will have a direct liaison with us. You can contact us directly too, but this feels like a good way of us not missing feedback from you. John Briley is now the sole owner of Progress. John is currently on a hiatus due to an ongoing health condition. Company operations will be first overseen by James Amner. Lucy Cave will be overseeing safeguarding and digital communications. We will be looking to fill other roles going forward. More information will follow. Due to her other commitments, Vicky Haskins was not able to be a part of this process. The level of work that has happened over the last 4 weeks to build a new infrastructure has been a huge task, and it would have been unfair to add any additional workload. From a personal perspective, I came on board to assist the project, but with research, education, and the accountability to make sure the survivors of speaking out get a safe environment to return to, my role has changed to have a far bigger level of responsibility. With this research and education, I am confident that we can deliver the highest talent and fan safeguarding. Club Progress will be rolled into 2021. Existing members will have a full calendar year on top of any existing usage that may happen in 2020. We want to put on shows as soon as possible, but fans and talent's health and well-being remain paramount. Ideally, we will only come back once full attendances are feasible, but we are constantly monitoring regional and national guidelines. We will be trialing having the month of June off from live shows to give wrestlers a break. You're not naive enough to think wrestlers will not perform during this time, but it will give them a set month to take a break if they need. Whilst all our policies will be constantly reappraised throughout the year, we will also use this time to take a more in-depth look at them. Feedback has pointed towards talent and audience member interaction when selling merchandise. We will offer to sell merch for talent or have a crew on hand to oversee the merch area depending on their preference. To ensure talent's income is maximized, we will share diaries with the other companies to try and eliminate double bookings. This will also mean high-quality referees will be able to be in attendance at all events. Other areas we're trying to operate change is through not utilizing social media to instigate feuds and matches if talent have no desire to do so. Likewise, management. Social media is a source of mental health issues, and we have a duty to look after our talent and not subject them to an unsafe online environment. We will be taking select media interviews. Please email progress@progresswrestling.com with your information, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. Going forward, we want people to understand that the talent will be scrutinized and the highest standards expected from them, and they can expect the highest standards of safeguarding from us to protect them. Likewise, audience members should always feel safe and know where help is at all times. We are proud of our team, and the first show back is something we are all looking forward to. No stone will be left unturned. Please know that we will always be working hard behind the scenes. That is our promise to you. Now, I believe there's a second page, but I'm not going to go into it because this article is already pretty long. And my apologies for not finishing the article. But it's safe to say that, you know, Progress is doing what they can to at least, you know, ensure the safety of everyone involved, especially the female talent, and which is not a bad idea in and of itself, especially with what's going on. Oh, okay. Well, it pretty much says stay safe, and we hope to see you soon from Lucy. But this is a big deal, you know, especially with everything that's going on with the whole speaking out movement. We're still learning things from that, you know, and it's a lot to take in. It really is, and, you know. But it is really cool to see, you know, they're going to have a month off, and they gave the month off to June for the talent, not utilizing social media to instigate feuds and matches if talent have no desire to do so. You know, making sure the referee roster is the best that it can be. And their referees are pretty fucking solid across the board. Establishing disciplinary protocol. You know, I mean, they've really put in a lot to ensure, you know, the safety of the fans and the talent, of, you know. And it's really cool to see that they're trying to do something a little bit different. We will see how it goes going forward. And hopefully Progress Wrestling will come back into our lives. For I am a huge fan of the product, the promotion, everything that comes with it. And yeah, I mean, I can't wait to see what they're going to do in the future. So, we will see how everything goes with that. But moving along, latest reports on WWE's plans for the next WWE draft. This is from comicbook.com, from Connor Casey. WWE has yet to hold a WWE draft or superstar shakeup since the start of 2020. But according to the latest reports from Fightful, WWE is trying to get one on the schedule. The site reported this past week that a draft was scheduled for August, then bumped to September, then moved back and forth at least one more time. WWE had reportedly let its broadcast partners know that one was on the way, but the plans continue to remain up in the air. Quote, "At this point, we haven't heard what the current plan for a draft is, if it will take place, what brands are involved, or what the format is," Robert DeFelice wrote. "We've heard the plans have changed numerous times, however. Back in May, WWE introduced the brand-to-brand invitational that will allow wrestlers to appear compete on the opposite brand up to four times a year. The concept that saw the likes of everyone's favorite, well, not really, TGI Friday's general manager, King Cuckboy, and Charlotte Flair appear on both brands, but hasn't been brought up in months. The only two wrestlers that consistently show up on both shows are Bayley and Sasha Banks, thanks to their WWE Women's Tag Team Championships. Fightful added, "The brand split between Raw and SmackDown will remain for this foreseeable future. The split was reintroduced back in 2016, then heavily weakened in 2019 thanks to the wild card rule, and we all know how much of an atrocity that was. The concept was dropped, when WWE brought back the draft in October 2019. That draft saw big names like Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, Sasha Banks, Braun Strowman, Kevin Owens, the Street Profits, Brock Lesnar, Charlotte Flair, and The Miz all move brands. On top of the uncertain plans regarding the draft, WWE still hasn't announced where this year's SummerSlam pay-per-view will take place. WWE has already confirmed that the show will be at TD Garden in Boston as originally planned, but declined on saying whether or not it would be in the Performance Center like the last four pay-per-views. I could honestly give a single fuck less about the WWE draft because they don't do it right. They always fuck it up. Every time they send somebody over to it, it makes no goddamn sense because then they do stupid shit. Fuck a draft. Wait till next year. Let your storylines fly out and do one after SummerSlam. Just do that. Finish up the rest of the year. Do what you were going to do is book-wise. If you do it, it's just going to be a failure. You know, I personally love me some NFL draft. I'm a huge fan of the NFL draft. I love the NFL draft. It's one of my favorite drafts to watch. And it should always have a sports-like feel. WWE doesn't know how to capitalize on that, which sucks. But honestly, this year, fuck the draft. Fuck it. It's trash. It doesn't work. And then you're going to go into Survivor Series the month after, if you decide to do it in October, excuse me, and you're going to have to redo storylines. Unless you already have long-term plans in place from the nights after the draft until WrestleMania, don't bother doing the fucking draft. From WrestlingInc.com, NJPW provides details about Strong. Top star unable to compete due to injury. This is from Robert Gagne from the week Saturday. My apologies on that last little bit there. I had interrupted by a phone call. My apologies. I am quite sorry for that. And let me get back into the article from Robert Gagne talking about NJPW providing details about Strong. Top star unable to compete due to injury. As noted, New Japan Pro Wrestling announced that they are launching a new series called NJPW Strong, which will premiere this summer. The show will be streaming on NJPW World starting August 7th at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. During a press conference, Takami Obari, the president of New Japan Pro Wrestling America, revealed that Strong will be centered around the American NJPW talent. He also noted that the first episode of the show will feature the opening round of a tournament called New Japan Cup USA. The following matches will be taking place on August 7th episode of Strong. Carl Fredericks versus Kenta, Jeff Cobb versus Tonga Loa, David Finlay versus Chase Owens, and Brody King versus Tama Tonga. Fans will see the semifinal rounds take place on August 14th, followed by the final match of the tournament on August 21st. The winner of the New Japan Cup USA tournament will earn the opportunity to challenge for the IWGP United States Championship, currently held by Jon Moxley. One star that unfortunately won't be able to compete inside the ring for the foreseeable future is Juice Robinson. NJPW tweeted out a message announcing that Robinson is suffering from a leg injury and won't be part of the New Japan Strong broadcast. Of course, if you want to see the full announcements, you can check out NJPW Global on Twitter at the same handle, and them discussing the leg injury and for him to miss forthcoming events. This is going to be interesting to see who the next opponent will be for Jon Moxley's IWGP United States Championship. Not exactly sure who would win this tournament. There's a lot of top names that could be a part of it. Of course, Kenta, Jeff Cobb would be a dope pick. Tama Tonga, I think, would be a solid, interesting matchup. Brody King is a surprise to see in this tournament. Chase Owens. I'm not going to pick who's going to win this tournament, but if the favorite would be, I'm going to go with Kenta. It would be either Kenta or Jeff Cobb, because I'm sure both guys can give Ambrose, I'm sorry, that's me hitting my hand, Moxley, a proper fight for the IWGP United States Championship. And it's real cool to see that, you know, they're really trying to really get New Japan America going. And even during what's going on in the world, they're trying to actually, you know, boost up the talent over in on the American side of New Japan Pro Wrestling. Of course, the LA Dojo, all that stuff. So it's going to be curious to see who comes out of this tournament and faces Jon Moxley at a future date for the IWGP United States Championship. And I'm going to go with either Kenta or Jeff Cobb, more than likely, are going to be the favorites, and I think either of them could be the one to win this tournament. As far as Juice Robinson goes, I would have loved to see Juice Robinson in this tournament. He is one of my favorite guys over on New Japan, a huge fan favorite of the Japanese crowd, and of course also the boyfriend of 120 Storm. Don't be mad. Don't hate the player. Hate the game. It bees what it bees. But it does suck that he did suffer a leg injury. We don't know the severity of the leg injury nor how long he will be out. But we here at the YLB Podcast do wish Juice Robinson a very speedy recovery, and hopefully he gets back into the ring very, very soon. From WrestlingInc.com, Deonna Purrazzo tells WWE, "I hope you feel dumb for not seeing her potential. This is from Jason Untrasuth. And my apologies if I fucked your last name up. Impact Wrestling Knockouts champion Deonna Purrazzo was recently on the Busted Open podcast, where she opened up about her aspirations post-WWE. She also compared her in-ring persona from ROH and Impact to a persona in WWE NXT. Quote, "I think the Deonna that you saw and the world saw in Ring of Honor and Impact is truly who I am," Purrazzo admitted. "The person I've been able to put on the screen is the person I believe in. It's the truest form of me, you know, elevated. At NXT, it was very much a runaround. You need a character. Okay, well, that's too much character. You have to be the real you, but the real you isn't believable. I just gotten to a point where there's nothing I can do right, and now I feel defeated in me. And coming here and just being like, screw what everyone has said. Screw the complications that came with me. Screw the opinions and screw the negativity I've been through. I'm going to bring the person that loved professional wrestling, that wanted to be a professional wrestler since I was 9 years old. And I'm going to make that girl proud." Purrazzo spoke more about being true to herself. She gave a passionate response to going back to believing in who she is. Quote, "I don't care that WWE fired me or didn't want me or didn't think I was good enough. I think I'm good enough. And if Impact believes I'm good enough, and if Ring of Honor believes I'm good enough, if Japan thought I was good enough, I'm good enough. And I just needed to get back into believing in me and believing in the little girl who wanted to be here her entire life." After her WWE release, Purrazzo spoke out about her creative frustrations with the company, which she says put a target on her back. She said that this motivated her to prove her worth. "I had a chip on my shoulder, and the first interviews I did, I was like, screw NXT. And that put a target on my back. That put pressure to perform at a new level and to raise to Jordan's level, to Taya's level, raise to Tessa's level, all the champions that came before me. Now I have to be equal with them, if not better, especially where I was coming from and the success I didn't see in NXT. I had to make this worthwhile and come in and be right with the champion, be on the first pay-per-view I can be on as now the Knockouts champion. It's like WWE messed up. And I hope you regret it, and I hope you feel dumb, because everyone else can see it, and I've known it my entire life." Purrazzo has also said that she was flipping out about her NXT creative plans, but on Boston Open, she spoke positively about her NXT experience. She talked about how much she grew while in NXT. "I said a lot of negative things about NXT, but in my time there were so many positives that were in terms of building an identity more than just Deonna Purrazzo. I was really able to take on the virtue of that and explore her personality and character traits." And of course, I have to always say it, if you use any quotes from the article, please credit Busted Open with an H/T at Wrestling Inc. for the transcription. And maybe Labrini also contributed to the article. I was a big fan of Deonna Purrazzo in NXT. I honestly believe in my mind she didn't get a fair shake. I honestly felt that, or should I say honestly, truly thought, you know, that she had a lot of potential in NXT. And y'all know, I loves me the ladies division over there in NXT. I still believe in my heart of hearts that it is the, without a doubt, the best women's division in all professional wrestling, and I don't think anyone can actually argue otherwise. I thought Deonna Purrazzo was going to be a major player in that division, and unfortunately, NXT didn't see it the same way we did. Unfortunately, WWE let her go, and now she's over on Impact as the Knockouts champion. I'm glad she used that motivation to get to where she is now, beating Jordynne Grace in her matchup. I still haven't seen the matchup yet, personally. I heard it was a damn good one, though, and seeing Purrazzo come out of that, being now the Knockouts champion, is a very, you know, something that should be commended. Can't knock her. She's a champ. She got that. She got one. But me personally, in NXT, I felt that, you know, it is a very competitive division. But I would have at least put her in the mid-tier category. I would have at least had her starting potential as a mid-tier. Easily. She has the skills. The look is, I like her look. She's from Jersey. And she's fine. I am just a man. I am merely just a man. But yeah, she has the skills. That Fujiwara armbar is nasty. Nasty. And I think I would have thought she could go with some of the better names in the division. a LeRae, a Shirai, a Kai, a Knox, a Blackheart, you know, a Martinez, Alita, and she's Liz here. But she really could have made a name for herself against the Yim. That would have been dope. I really would have thought that she could have been a major player in that division had they were able to develop her. But unfortunately, like I said, that division is highly competitive. So I can understand why maybe NXT were trying to develop her, but it just didn't work out the way it was. And now she's over at Impact Wrestling, where she can be a part of a budding division that can start building. They do have Jordynne Grace, Taya Valkyrie, Kylie Rae, and Deonna Purrazzo. That's not a bad four to work with. All right. Of course, there's other talents over there. I think Kiera Hogan is over there. So they do have a ton of talent that they can work with. And that Deonna Purrazzo now as champion can face. Now that Kylie Rae is the number one contender, that will be her first shot. I'm sure Grace will get her rematch somewhere down the line. But I'm happy to see that Purrazzo did land somewhere. And Impact is, I think, very grateful to bring her into the fold. And now they have her as their Knockouts champion, and I'm going to keep a keen eye on seeing where her title reign goes. And to end this week's episode of the News of the Weekend, part two, the last segment. And again, my apologies, I had to take a phone call. I never like to take a phone call during recording. It's just I had to stop that, take care of that real quick, and then come back. Again, my apologies. But I will not apologize for what Rollins will say. From EssentiallySports.com, Seth Rollins hits out at AEW fans for criticizing the eye for an eye match. And if you heard the good, the bad, and the ugly that was Extreme Rules, you know exactly my thoughts on that. If you don't, go back and listen to that episode. Earlier on this month. Last month. Check that out, and you'll understand where I'm coming from with that, because that match was bullshit. Seth Rollins and Rey Mysterio participated in one of the most polarizing matches of the year. That's a fucking understatement. While many people applauded the WWE for trying to do something new with the eye for an eye stipulation, others vehemently rejected it for its ridiculously over-the-top picturization. That's a nice little cluster of words there. Beautiful. That included Mysterio's eye literally popping out, with a gumball eye being used to create the effect. And I have that picture still on my Instagram if you want to go see what that looks like. To be honest, professional wrestling has always been about the suspension of disbelief. The industry can't exist without it. We literally believe that Taker buries his opponents alive and rises from the dead. However, at some point, you need to ask yourself if your intelligence is being insulted. Whatever be your answer, Seth Rollins views this in a completely different way. As per the Monday Night Messiah, this constitutes a stepmotherly treatment from WWE from a section of the fans. He's clearly pointing out at the AEW fanbase would happily cheer a Lake of Reincarnation spot when Matt Hardy does it, but would reject a similar attempt by the WWE. Quote, "It reeks of 2020 trying to pick everything apart." End quote. Seth Rollins is very happy with the way his match with Rey Mysterio played out. As for him, the match achieved exactly what it set out to achieve. A failure? Yeah, you nailed that completely. At the end of the day, was it ideal? No. Did it catch people's attention? Sure. It ended up on TMZ. I think we sort of accomplished what wrestling wants to accomplish, and that is we told a very interesting story. And there was some outside interest in the finish, even though it was very weird. And that's okay. I think pro wrestling can just be one-on-one, hold-for-hold wrestling, or it can be storytelling like any other form of television. And I think when you start to look at it too critically, especially stuff like that, I don't know. To me, it reeks of 2020 trying to pick everything apart. If you like the Lake of Reincarnation in AEW, but you hate the eye for an eye match, you know what I mean? Then where are we really at here? There's some truth to what Rollins is saying about fans judging WWE way more critically than they do with AEW. I do it equally. It's just that WWE likes to fuck up more than AEW does. I digress. However, Rollins also needs to look at the criticism and realize the crux of it. The fans have no qualms with professional wrestling defying age-old expectations and going overboard with its stories. However, There's always a trade-off when you willingly believe something you know is too unrealistic. You want that story to be compelling enough in its effort. The entire Lake of Reincarnation storyline was the devoted effort of Matt Hardy to create a folklore that resonates with audiences. Along with it, he left just enough questions which continue to arouse curiosity. Whether or not the Eye for an Eye match made that kind of effort in its implementation is for the fans to decide. Do you agree with the opinion expressed by Seth Rollins? And as per tradition, I'm going to X out of the final article for the night, lay down my laptop, and my phone is on charge, so I'm not going to lay it down as I normally do. But let me just leave you with this. That match was garbage. That was 20 minutes of my time wasted on watching a matchup that, with a stipulation that was dreadful, lazy, a shitty creative decision. Excuse me. A waste of yours and my time. And an abomination of everything that is Seth Rollins and Rey Mysterio. And that's me being nice about it. This match sucked. Whether Seth Rollins will ever admit it or not, that's our business. That's what we get to do. That is what we get to do. But you cannot tell me that this match was actually good. Because it wasn't. It was a big failure as far as it goes. Honestly, I did not see many positive tweets. I did not see many positive posts. I did not see many positive anything in terms of the Eye for an Eye match. And honestly, if the match never happened and we just got a simple street fight from Seth Rollins and Rey Mysterio, I personally, honestly, would have been a lot better off watching that than seeing a bullshit Eye for an Eye match. But that, ladies and gentlemen, is going to conclude episode 236 of the YLP podcast. When we come back, of course, we will end the show in proper YLP fashion and get you ready for episode 237 of the YLP podcast. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Well, guys, that's going to be it for episode 236 of the YLP podcast. As always, I want to thank you guys so much for taking time out of your day, your night, your afternoon, and your evening, wherever you may be, wherever you are in the world. Thank you guys so much for taking this episode of the podcast. As always, I greatly and truly appreciate it. If you have any thoughts, concerns, opinions, comments, if you thought today's episode was good, if you thought today's episode was bad, if you had any opinions on any of the articles that I spoke about on this episode, sound off. Let your voice be heard and leave your boy a voice message. Voice message, my apologies, on anchor.fm/unbiasedperspective or anchor.fm/WrestleAddictRadio. Over on the Wrestle Addict Radio side, make sure you put YLP in the title so I know that you're referring to me personally. And if I like what you're bringing to the table, I like it. Yeah, let's flip. It's a word I don't use often, but it's in the English language, so there it is. And I like what you're, doing, I like what you're bringing to the table, I like what you're talking about. I have no problem featuring you on a future episode of the YLP podcast, of course. If you enjoyed this episode, do not hesitate to tell a friend about the YLP podcast. Share this episode across all of your social media. Your Instagrams, your Facebooks, your Twitters, Gab, Parler, Tinder, Hinge, Bumble, LinkedIn, Messenger, on Facebook, in the DMs, in a text message. Spread that word. Let a friend and let their friends know about the podcast. If you like what I'm bringing to the table, why not share the experience? Why not share that loud, brash, unapologeticness that is Mr. YLP himself to the rest of your clique, your squadron, your regiment, all that good stuff. Spread the word, share the love, because in these unprecedented times, we here at Wrestling Addict Radio
want to be that solace at the end of your very hard work day, whatever you're going on. We are here for you because the YLP podcast, the Kings of the Rings podcast, the Game Changer podcast, and of course the Late Show with Vance Chappelle are not only the cure for the Common Wrestling podcast, but we are 100% without a doubt, then, now, and forever, the alternative professional wrestling podcast, and that we are here to stay. I know most of y'all do not have the Anchor app. Not really hurt my feelings whatsoever. Everybody has their favorite platform to use for their podcasting needs and wants throughout the day. But if you think for 1 second, we're simply just all about ambiguouspodcastsolutions.com, anchor.fm/YoungLionsPerspective, and anchor.fm/WrestlingAddictRadio. And if you're hearing that rain in the background, that means it's Tropical Storm Isaias has arrived. So don't mind that in the background. We're going to Passover. We'll get through it just fine. Okay? But yeah, there are several different platforms you can check our podcast out, including Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and shout out to all y'all checking it out there from the Apple Podcast side. Y'all are my biggest. I can't even speak words today. English heart. Y'all are my biggest supporters over on the podcast, and for that, I greatly and truly appreciate you for sure. big time. Podcast Addict, Player FM. Podbean, of course. Shout out to the Podbean Squadron. gotta love y'all. Castbox FM, Overcast, Radio Public, Stitcher Radio, and of course, that good old Spotify fam. Search for the YLP Podcast, the Kings of the Rings Podcast, the Game Changer Podcast, and of course, the Delight Show with Vance Pell across all these different platforms. And you should have no problem finding us whatsoever. If you want to stay up to date with everything that's going on with the YLP Podcast across my social media, well, I'm pretty damn active on my social media. But if you want to know the easiest way to find me, you can find me over on the Twitter land at Swede Senator War. That's SUEDE SENATOR, capital W, capital A, capital R. I do live tweeting for AEW Dynamite every Wednesday night. SmackDown, of course, every Friday night, unless I have a prior engagement to attend to. That way, I will, of course, I will reach you on my Twitter. That is the easiest way you can reach me. DMs, all that good stuff with a tweet. All that fun shit that I normally get to do with on a regular basis. Ha ha ha. And if I'm ever covering in a big event, or if it is, you know, if I feel like taking the reins, make sure you look out for me possibly doing a takeover on Wrestle Addict Radio's Twitter page as well. But that's another story for another time. If you want to follow me over on my Instagram, the mothership and hub of everything that is YLP and the YLP universe, you can find me over there at young_lions_perspective. Memes, in case you missed it, updates, breaking news, 60-second thought videos, memes, and more memes. If you have a meme that you think is hilarious, you think I would like, and mind you, I have dark humor. Trust me, bring your best. I love it. Bring all of it. I will easily, seriously, slide in my DMs with your best pro wrestling memes. If I like it, if I think it's mad funny, A, I'll DM you immediately and let you know this is hilarious. I'm putting it on my Instagram page. B, I will easily tag you in it so you can get your wonderful moments of fame and live your life in excellence and magnificence for the rest of your existence of that day. And I will tag all the members of Wrestle Addict Radio on it so they get to enjoy the magnificence that is your pro wrestling may-may. I'm serious. I'm being dead honest. Send your memes. If I like them, if I really like them, A, you'll get a DM from me back, and I will definitely put you on my Instagram page. You will get the tag. You will get all that good stuff, all the shout-outs in the world, happiness, love, and all that good stuff, because I think we should be able to create a dialogue and interact with each other on a regular basis. That's what we do. And I think memes are quite, and pro wrestling memes are absolutely fucking hilarious. So, like I said, bring your best pro wrestling memes. If I like it, you're getting featured on my Instagram page. You may get a shout out on a future episode of the YLP podcast if you do so. I'm just trying to entice you just a little bit. But yeah, do that for the gram one time. Let's see what you've got. Also, if you want to follow me over on my Facebook, yes, I surprisingly still have Facebook. I haven't deleted it yet because, well, I can't. I would love to, but I can't. But if you want to find me over on Facebook, you can find me there over on Facebook. Search for Young Lions Perspective Podcast. Like the page. Give it a follow. Share it with all your friends. We're over 100 followers over on the page, and much appreciated to all of you who are following the page. All of my Instagram posts also link to my Facebook, so everything you see on my IG goes over to my Facebook. So if you're on Facebook and you're over on the page, you will not miss a post whatsoever. Follow me on all these platforms to stay up to date with everything that's going on with the YLP podcast. And I'm looking over to the judges to ensure I fulfill all my obligations for the episode. Looking over at the Hong Kong Squadron, and I'm getting the thumbs up. So, of course, y'all know tomorrow is Tuesday, and that means a brand new episode of Last Week, This Week, where I'll be talking about last week's episode of NXT and get you primed and ready for Wednesday night's episode of the Black and Gold Standard. Other than that, guys, I know Raw's going on. I'm putting this episode out a little later than usual, but it bees what it bees. Of course, to all y'all, I know Shane McMahon is going to be on Raw tonight. Well, by the time you listen to this, Shane McMahon would already have been on Raw this evening. My condolences to your sanity, as always. Hopefully, you don't get less than a 1.6, and we'll see how the rest of the night goes. Other than that, guys, enjoy the rest of your Monday night. Enjoy your Tuesday morning if you're listening to this the next day. And I'll see you guys back right here tomorrow night for episode 237 of the YLP podcast. See you!
This has been a Wrestle Attic Radio branded podcast.